God, help us today to not lose sight, God, of the blood that you shed on the cross, God, for us. God, that we could have our sins washed away and cast into the sea of forgetfulness. God, help us to understand what all that means. God, what you endured for us. God, on that cross, that we could have everlasting life and be with you forever in heaven. God, help us to never forget, never take that lightly, never take that for granted. God, what you sent your Son down here to do for us, people that are not worthy, people that are not deserving of your grace and mercy, God, but you poured it out on us anyway. God, and we thank you. God, we come to you today, God, just asking for your word to flow freely. God, asking for your word to go forth and touch people, God, and bring people to salvation, God, and bring people to know you in a deeper way. Bring people to understand the cross of Christ and what it did for us. God, we thank you. The Holy Spirit, come and speak through me and anoint this message. And we thank you, Lord, for everything you've done in our lives and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Good morning, everybody. Whew, a lot of new faces this morning. That's awesome. No pressure on me there. So, Pastor Dean is up in Raleigh, North Carolina today, doing a little mini conference with our church plant, Fire and Grace Church in Raleigh. So we just, y'all keep him in prayer as he's traveling back this afternoon from being up there. And y'all just pray for me this morning that I can get across to you the gravity of the message of the cross. Because I think sometimes as Christians, not out of wanting to or willfulness or anything like that, but that we just kind of don't have what Jesus did on our minds like we should. And the suffering that he really endured, even leading up to actually being hung on the tree. And that's what I want to go through the crucifixion story today. And I'm going to show a video too from the Passion of the Christ of the crucifixion. Because I think this video and that movie did a really good job in portraying Christ and that part of what he endured for us. And it's very graphic. I mean, it shows, and it's not, and that's what I really like about this little 5-minute video is it doesn't whitewash what Jesus did for us. So I want to start, and I want to go through the crucifixion from two or three of the Gospels, kind of in between, like carrying the story through from a few of the Gospels. So let's start in John 19 this morning. We'll start at verse 1. And the subtitle in my Bible says, Jesus is sent to die on the cross. And you know, and then we'll go to Luke and we'll spend a little bit of time in Luke and we'll come back to John. So hold your place here in John 19 when we get ready to turn to Luke. And then we're going to go to Matthew and kind of finish it off there with the crucifixion story. So John 19 verse 1, then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. I mean, even in the Passion of the Christ, they show the scourging. They show the cat of nine tails with the iron claws in the end of the whips and all this stuff. And they show him just beating him and just ripping it through his skin. And that's horrific enough just to think about in itself. And then it goes on to say, and the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe and said, Hail, King of the Jews. And they smote him with their hands. And we're not talking about just walking up and slapping somebody either. I mean, we're talking about full on what we would consider today MMA fighter just beating him up. Right? I mean, we can't even begin to fathom. And Jesus is taking this for us, willingly, for us. And this is what, in studying this, I just can't even begin to, it's hard for me to even portray what's in my mind and get it out into words, because it is such a awe-inspiring and awful thing. Because I don't deserve this. I don't deserve Jesus bearing this for me. But he did. And then Pilate said, therefore went forth again and saith unto them, behold, I bring him forth to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him. Then Jesus came forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate said unto them, behold the man. When the chief priests, therefore, and the officers saw him, they cried out, saying, crucify him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. The Jews answered him, we have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. Then Pilate therefore heard that saying he was the more afraid. So Pilate was scared. Pilate, you know, he washed his hands and said, this is on you. And went again into the judgment hall and saith unto Jesus, whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee? And Jesus answered, thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. And from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, if thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover and about the sixth hour. And he saith unto the Jews, behold your king. But they cried out, away with him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, we have no king but Caesar. Then delivered him, therefore, unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. Now let's go to Luke 23. We'll go to verse 26. And we're going to read a little bit here to verse 43. Luke 23, 26 through 43. I mean, just the mindset of the religious leaders back then to say, we have no king but Caesar. I mean, basically, they denounced God in saying that about Jesus. Said, we will submit to the world system before we submit to God. I mean, that's for the most part what he was saying. I mean, that's just to me unfathomable why you would do that. But we have that even today in a lot of churches. We get a lot of the questions about the 501c3 and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, we're not as this church. But are you submitting to the government more than Christ by enveloping in the government system? I don't know. You know, that's not a question for today. So verse 26, and this is the way to the cross, is the subheading title in my Bible here. And as they led him away, they laid a hold upon him, one Simon, a Cyrene, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus. And there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, this is important, daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming in which they shall say, blessed are the barren, and the wounds that never bear, and the paths which never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. And if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? And, you know, this is also referring to the end times when the kings and the priests and the rulers will go into the caves and the mountains and they cry, you know, fall on us, hide us from the wrath of the Lamb that's coming. And I think that's what Jesus was referring to here. And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. And the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left, then said, Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots, and the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, he saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, if thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription was also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, this is the king of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into the kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And then we'll go on to through 49 here. And the title in my Bible says, The Death of Jesus. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth, and until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said this, he gave up the ghost. Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, certainly this was a righteous man. And all the people that came together to that sight, beholding the things which were done, smote their breast and returned. And all his acquaintances and the women that followed him from Galilee stood afar off, beholding these things. Now let's go back to John 19. So I think it's important that we take the different aspects of the crucifixion from the different gospels, because they all saw it from a different point of view. And some had a little more detail with different areas than others. So that's why I'm doing this, is going back and forth through the whole crucifixion scene, if you will, because there's things in each gospel that need to be understood and brought out that you don't get from just reading it in one alone. So we're John 19, verse 28. And this is also, in this one, is the death of Jesus, because he gives a little more detail. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. So the scriptures are being fulfilled right there. And now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, that, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it in his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was a high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other, which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true, and he knoweth that he saith true, that you might believe. For these things were done that the scripture should be fulfilled. A bone of him shall not be broken. And again, another scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they pierced. Now let's go to Matthew 28 to finish out this story. And after this, guys, we're going to show that video. Matthew 28, verse 28. Well, I wrote the wrong reference down. See if I meant Mark. Oh. Well. I did write the wrong reference down. It's 27. Matthew 27, verse 45. Sorry about that, guys. And this is also titled The Death of Jesus. Now, from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. No, I'm butchering that. I'm sorry, guys. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, this man calleth for Elias. And straightway, one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink. The rest said, let be. Let us see whether Elias will come to save him. Jesus, when he cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did shake, quake, and the rocks rent. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the grave for his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion, the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. When many women were there beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him, and among which was Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph and the mother of Zebedee's children. So you get Jesus crying out. Why have you forsaken me? You know, and it's finished. And, you know, all these things. And that was, and then it says Jesus gave up the ghost in all of these scriptures. And the crucifixion, and we're going to see this video, and then I'm going to talk some more about this, because just reading these words on the page, you don't get a good visual representation of what was done. And I think that's important for us to see, because it just brings it more home. It brings it more to light of the blood that was shed on the cross for us to have salvation. So let's watch this video, and then we'll dive off into this a little more. Thank you. I mean, even watching that for the, I don't even know how many times. I mean, I'm just choked up. Because Jesus did that for us. He bore that pain, shed his blood for us. I don't deserve that. I don't deserve any man, I don't care who you are, going through that. But thank God he's not just a man. That he is God in the flesh, that perfect, sinless man that bore that death so that we don't have to. We deserve that, all of us, and worse. We all deserve to burn for eternity in hell. But because of what Jesus did on the cross, we don't have to. We can cry out, Jesus, save me. Jesus, I need you. And he is faithful to forgive us, to cleanse us, to set us free. And I know, even, I mean, I don't dwell on what Jesus did like I should. Because without the death on the cross, we have no life. We have nothing to look forward to. Now I want to go to Mark 8 right quick. I want to read verse 34 and 35. Y'all can put it up or if you get, but, this is Jesus talking. And it says, and when he had called people unto him with his disciples, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel, for my sake, for Jesus' sake, and for the gospel's sake, the same shall save it, save his life. So it's not just about Jesus. It's not just about dying to yourself. You have to, the gospel, take up the gospel and use it and preach it. And it's not just, people like to say, let your life or your actions or what you do speak louder than your words about being a Christian. But if we're not preaching the gospel and telling people what Jesus did for us, then what good is our actions going to do if they don't know why we're living the way we live? I mean, do we live a life for Christ that is worthy of what he did on the cross? Do we go after him? Do we seek him? Do we preach the gospel? Do we witness to the people around us? Do we love the people around us enough to witness to them and tell them what Jesus did for us? That's the question. And we, Pastor Dean says this, and I've said it too. The question is never whether God loves us, but do we love him? He loved us by doing what he did on the cross, by sending his son. He loved us enough to die for us that we can live for him. You know, the Leviticus says the blood is the life of the flesh, but the blood of Jesus is the life of the spirit. Without the shedding of the blood of Jesus, we're dead. If Jesus didn't die and didn't rise again, then our faith and our belief in him is vain. It's vanity. There's nothing for us at all if he didn't rise again from the dead. Jesus is the first fruits of the first resurrection. And if he didn't do this, why are we here? Why do we bother ourselves with coming to church and singing songs and fellowshipping for somebody that is dead? Our hope, our life, our eternity depended on God sending his son, and we have to live like that means something. We can't just live a complacent, blasé-faire life and think we're going to be okay. Because I can tell you, just watching that video, and if that video represents even an ounce, just a microscopic level of what Jesus actually went through, then it blows my mind that a man that has the same feelings that we do, that can bear the pain like we do. I mean, most of us, we burn our hand on the stove or cut our finger or something like that. It hurts. Imagine this. He did that and poured out his blood for us. You know, let's go to Matthew 10 right quick. And we'll go to verse 34. And I mean, just the gravity of what Jesus endured for us is immense. And part of taking up our cross and following him is what I want to get to here in Matthew 10. Says change brings conflict. And he says, Jesus says, think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and his daughter against his mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Verse 38 and 39, and he that taketh not his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. He that taketh not his cross and follow after me. Does our cross that we bear even come close to comparing to what Jesus bared? No. Nothing. There's nothing that we can endure and go through in this life that compares to what Jesus endured and went through in his life. And the cross of Christ is a brutal, brutal thing. It was the worst form of crucifixion, of punishment, of death that the Romans could come up with. And there were several of the apostles were crucified. You know, Peter, I believe, upside down, and you know, all this. And so it's, they took up the cross of bearing the cross to get the church going. And it's up to us to continue that. And whether it be losing friends or losing family members over the truth of the gospel, that cross is light. That cross has no weight to it compared to what the cross Jesus carried up Golgotha. I mean, you know, we get upset if we can't have a relationship with family members that are lost and all that because we preach the gospel to them. Yeah, okay, I know that's heartbreaking and all that, but you're doing what you should be doing, which is preaching the gospel of Jesus. You know, and taking up our cross. I mean, Jesus said his yoke is light. It's easy to bear. And in light of what he did, I think he's onto something there. I mean, you know, it's the word of God. It's truth. You know, I didn't have much, a long message this morning, and I want to get to 1 Corinthians 15, and then that'll be close, because I think this is a heavy subject that we need to contemplate and just keep in our forefront. And that's all I wanted to do this morning, was bring back to the front of your minds what Jesus did for us. The cross that he carried up Golgotha, the crucifixion that he endured, the things that he went through for us, and what we can have because of it. An eternal life, freedom, deliverance in the name of Jesus, because the blood of Jesus was shed and the name of Jesus is above every other name. And demons and sickness has to obey the name of Jesus because he's God in the flesh. He died for our sins. He shed his blood. The scourges on his back were for our healing. The blood that was shed was for our salvation, for our cleansing, for our way of to make it, to spend eternity with him. And that's the important thing, is what I said a while ago. Do we live a life that is worthy or worth the price that it was paid for? He paid a great price. And again, if that crucifixion that was portrayed was anything close to reality, the price was tremendous. The price of God's only Son to die for us is the greatest price in the world. Bought us. That blood bought us. Are we willing to live like it was actually true? So 1 Corinthians 15, I guess I should turn there too. And we'll read starting at verse 1. And the title in mine says, A Summary of the Gospel. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all First of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again in the third day according to the Scriptures. And when he's talking about the Scriptures here, we might look at some of the Old Testament Scriptures to go along, but it was prophesied numerous times of the crucifixion, what Jesus would go through, how he would be treated, and it was all prophesied. David in the Psalms, Zechariah, I mean, Isaiah, they all talked about Jesus and him coming. And said, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's verse 4. Verse 5, and that he was seen of Caiaphas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me, also of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preached, and so you believed. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain? Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. So basically, if Christ didn't rise, my preaching, your faith, all vanity. It's all vain. It's all for nothing. And if God didn't raise him up, then basically God's a liar. Right? So, for if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. So if the dead are not raised, if there's not a resurrection, then Christ didn't rise either. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. You are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. So if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, you're still living in sin. And to be living in sin is to be separated from God. And to be separated from God means no eternal life. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. So those that are already dead, there's no hope for them. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, and by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end, and when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. So Christ died, suffered, rose from the dead, put all enemies under his feet, and the last one to be destroyed is death. Now that, if we have the hope in Christ, and the hope in his crucifixion, the hope in his resurrection, there is no death for us. There is no second death for us. Because the wicked will be judged. their death is their earthly death, their first death. Their second death is when they're cast in the lake of fire. We don't have to worry about that as long as we're in Christ, as long as we're saved and we're walking with Him and we're not living a life of sin. The cross of Christ is it. Without it, we're nothing. Without it, we have no hope. We have no hope of resurrection. We have no faith if there was no cross. I hope today that y'all will keep Christ's crucifixion a little closer to the front of your mind, a little closer to your thoughts of your daily life and the people around you and what He did for them if they will accept Him. So I know it was a heavy subject this morning, but it needs to be, because it is heavy to think about. I mean, I sitting over here tearing up watching this video for the fourth or fifth time, and the power of it is still the same. The power of Christ is still the same today as it was then, if we will just tap into it and live and seek Him like we're supposed to. So I thank y'all for being with us this morning. I know we got a lot of visitors, and it's awesome to see, and it really puts the pressure on me because it's awesome to have, and I don't want to disappoint. So let's stand and let's do that song, Nothing But the Blood. And then we'll have a closing prayer, and we'll be dismissed and have some fellowship time. Of Jesus. Lord, we just thank You for Your Son. Thank You for sending your Son here to bear the weight of sin, to bear the weight of our guilt on the cross. And we thank you, God, for sending Jesus here that we might have eternal life. God, and I just pray right now that if there's anybody in here, anybody watching that does not know you, Jesus, that they would turn to you and that they would cry out to you and they would call upon your name and be saved and be born again. And we just thank you for being with us and giving us a way of escape from our sin through the blood of Jesus Christ. God, we just pray, Lord, that you'll go with us this week and be with our guests here that traveled from great distance and keep them safe as they travel home. And be with Pastor Dean as he boards an airplane and gets home tonight. Lord, we just pray for his safety as well. In Jesus' name, amen. I did want to bring up one other thing that the Lord spoke about Matthew 10. It says the change brings conflict. The gospel of Jesus Christ always brings conflict, and to fully follow Jesus is to bear the cross of conflict. And that's where I know a lot of people in this room and that watch us are. I know there's a lot of conflict in lives and in families because of the gospel, and we're praying for you and we're standing with you. And Jesus is always with us and will never forsake us. Thank you guys for being with us today and in social media land and out on the greater world wide web. And we thank y'all and look forward to Skyfall and everybody that's coming to that. And we're about a month away.
Tomorrow's the last day to get discounted
rooms. Tomorrow is the last day to get discounted rooms at the Conference Venue Hotel. So if you're looking to register and come and want to get a room at the hotel at Dixon, at the University of Auburn Hotel Dixon Conference Center, then tomorrow is the last day for those available rooms. So y'all be blessed. Have a good Sunday and Labor Day if everybody's off work. And be safe out there. We love y'all. God bless. Hug some necks.